Good morning again. This week is almost an extension of Mother's Day because today we look at another story of a mother as well as a grandmother whose influence of faith had a lasting impact on the early church. In the Bible, we have a young man named Timothy. We first meet Timothy in the book of Acts, chapter 16. It reads, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Now, most scholars believe that Timothy was likely in his late teens at this point. But as we see, Timothy was a devoted believer that everyone seemed to like. So much so that we see in verse 3 of Acts 16, it says, Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Let me put a little perspective on this for you. About 15 to 20 years after the death of Jesus, the early church had a struggle between Christians who were born as Jews and the increasing number of non-Jews or Gentiles that were also coming to faith in Christ. The early church argued frequently as to whether or not Gentiles should first become circumcised Jews in order to become Christians. And the Council of Jerusalem was convened. It was a big conference led by people like Peter, many of the original disciples, James, the brother of Jesus, as well as Paul and Barnabas. At this council, Peter declared that the Gentiles did not need to be circumcised, but they did issue a requirement from that council that the Gentiles did need to follow some new rules, including some dietary restrictions. Paul and Barnabas were the designated messengers sent out to carry the message to the Gentiles. And along the way, Paul met Timothy. Timothy was a young man who had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. Timothy was likely not even born when Jesus was alive. However, he had become a follower of the Christian faith. And I find it humorous that Paul, who was on a mission to say that the Gentiles did not have to become circumcised Jews, stopped to have Timothy circumcised. Now, earlier I read verse 3, and it said Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Even though Paul was carrying a message from the council, from the leaders of the church, that Gentiles did not need to be circumcised, the Jews in this area were so set in their ways and so bigoted that Paul knew they would not accept Timothy unless he was circumcised too. In some ways, I think many Christians have a similar problem today. Many Christians create a culture in their church that makes it difficult to accept anyone different. I have heard some Christians say that unless it's the King James Version, then it's not the Bible. I have heard Christians argue about traditional versus contemporary styles of worship. I have seen churches reject people over race, over gender, and over social status. And here's one that might hit home. In this area, we have Westsiders and we have outsiders. And let me tell you, it's not fun being an outsider. Now, we have to be careful as Christians that we do not get so set in our ways that even unintentionally, we leave other believers out because they are different than us. Now, going back to young Timothy, Timothy became one of Paul's favorite companions. Eventually, Paul left him to be in charge of the church at Ephesus, the church for which the book of Ephesians is written. And at this point in their travels, Timothy was probably still in his early 20s. And in the culture of this time, a person usually wasn't considered wise until they got into the 30s. And this was a challenge for young Timothy. And Paul wrote two letters of instructions to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul writes this in verse 12, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young." But despite Timothy's youth, Paul trusted him with the church in Ephesus. In 1 Timothy, he says, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, Stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. Timothy was a young man with big responsibilities. He was sent to correct false teachings. He was sent to break up the legacy arguments. And let me tell you, legacy arguments can be harder to correct than false teachings. Now, we have to understand that historical connections are important. I admire the history of the church. This church goes back to 1807 and a little log cabin. And we have families that have been connected to this church for generations, a wonderful legacy. There are people today in this church that have been here 40, 50, 60, and on up to 90 plus years of connection to this church. But what happens in some cases is that the legacy number starts to become more important than advancing God's work. Not just in this church, but in other churches that I've been in. People put their foot down and practically stop ministry because they have been in the church for 50 years and they don't want to change. In one church, it was over a soda machine. The church had a growing youth ministry. And to a few legacy people, it was sacrilegious to have a soda machine inside the church. To them, it was less important to create a space to welcome and invite more youth in. To them, it was more important to protect the church from a few stray cans of soda. Timothy was set in to battle false teachings and legacy issues. Not an easy job for a pastor of any age. So why was Paul so confident in Timothy? The answer comes from the two passages we heard earlier from 2 Timothy. First, in chapter 1, he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." And then we heard in chapter 3, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those whom from you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Timothy helped the Apostle Paul shape the Christian world in the face of heavy Roman persecution, in the face of persecution by the Jewish leaders, and in the face of many false teachers. Timothy's preparation for his calling started with his grandmother and his mother, two ladies who had incredible faith and a dedication to Scripture. Their faith and their beliefs left a legacy. You see, raising children with the faith of God, teaching children to pray, to worship, to live and love Scripture is the best thing that we can do for them. This is why I believe everyone should be in worship together. Worship connects all of us. Young people learn to worship and learn to love worship from watching us. Proverbs 22 says, "Start children off on the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." When we live out genuine faith, when children see that God is a priority to us, when children learn that gathering for worship is crucial, when they see that prayer is a part of our lives, it becomes real to them. And as they grow and learn to experience a Christian life, it will become a real faith for them. Their foundation will be with them for the rest of their lives. And it doesn't have to even be our own children or grandchildren that we set the example for. As we learned last week, loving children and being a mother, a father, or a grandparent goes way beyond biological connections. You can be a mother, a father, or a grandparent to one of the children right here in this church. And our congregational response to baptism gives us this responsibility. When a child is baptized in this church, this is our covenant. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that this child, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. And last week, we looked at how Jesus taught us the truth that the family of God extends beyond biological boundaries, because he said, "For whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Each of us have to understand that no matter our age, we have the opportunity to be like Lois and Eunice. We have the opportunity to have an impact on those around us. As a spiritual family, we can leave a legacy of living out our calling from God, a legacy of teaching scriptures and living them out. And we can leave a legacy of encouragement, a legacy of prayer, a legacy of support. Never underestimate the impact of your faith. Never underestimate the impact of your love, because you never know how that's going to affect someone now down the road. And it's never too late to start your legacy of faith. You can start with your own family. You can start with the people of this church. You can start with your neighbors. As a pastor, all too often I am called to do what I call a difficult joy. A funeral service, a celebration life, an end-of-life service, no matter what we call it, for me as a pastor, it is a difficult joy. It is difficult on one hand, but such a joy on the other. And during this time, I often get to see what a legacy a person has had on their family, on their church, and on their community. And there is no greater legacy that you can give in your life than a legacy of faith, because it is a legacy of faith that can bind us for eternity. Our faith not only provides us with the promise of eternal life, but our faith can lead others to the same eternal promises. It was the faith of Lois and Eunice that led Timothy to a life of faith. And Timothy, through his faith, led many others to a life of faith as a leader of the early church. In my life, my grandmother bought my first Bible for me. My mom took me to Sunday school, church, VBS, and youth group. Excuse me. I remember many of the Sunday school teachers I had, such as Laverne Jones and Mary Smith. I remember watching men like Woodrow and Roscoe Smith, who lived their same faith out of the church as they did in the church. Those people's faith had an impact on my life. It made Christianity real because I saw people who were living it out, not just in church, but living it out anywhere, in the workplace, out in the stores, anywhere they went. They lived their life. They lived their faith. So what will be your faith legacy? Will people be able to say that your faith was the center of your life? Do your children and friends know what your favorite Bible verse is? Do they know your favorite hymn or song? Will they remember seeing you kneel down in prayer? Do they remember seeing you getting out your Bible, reading it, and studying it? My prayer is that each of us will realize the importance of living for Jesus, that we will see that what we do in life shows people what we actually believe. It's one thing to put on a show at a Sunday service, but it's a whole other thing to go and live it out every day, to go out and impress on other people what our faith is, just as Lois and Eunice did. Lois and Eunice showed the importance of God's word, the importance of being a people of action, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Are you willing to live out a genuine life of faith? Are you ready to impact the next generation of believers? That is a calling that we can all live out. Let us close in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Lois and Eunice. We thank you how their faith just impacted our world today. We thank you how they loved and encouraged and taught the scriptures to a young man named Timothy, and how he became a trusted companion of the Apostle Paul, and how he became in charge of one of the earliest and most successful churches of early Christianity. And Lord, today I ask that each of us look at our lives. What do our lives show people? Do our lives show that you're the center of our life? Or is there something else that we talk about all the time? Do we talk about sports more than you? Do we talk about politics more than you? Do we talk about the latest movie or music craze? Do we talk about the gossip of the Hollywood stars? Or are we focused on your Son, Jesus Christ, his grace and his mercy? Do we live our lives according to your scriptures? And are we out living and sharing your gospel with others? Lord, we have time to reflect now. This pandemic has slowed a lot of us down. And I think it showed a lot of us there are many things that we had put ahead of you. There are too many Sundays where other places than where we need to be. There's too many times when we're focused on what we can do for us and not what we can do for you. And Lord, I confess my part, and today I ask for your forgiveness. And I pray that others will follow me and also ask for your forgiveness. Lord, lead us and guide us. Allow us to be such great examples that our faith show your love. Lead other people to discover your grace so that they too may accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they too may share in the eternal promises of a new heaven and a new earth, that we will all one day gather and sing our praises to you forever. All of this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the strength and power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. As we get ready to close out our service today, I just want to give a special thanks to all the people that make today happen. Spread out through our sanctuary, we have several people. Carla doing our liturgy, Bonnie on the organ, Joan and Martha singing, and Rick in the back, and some of our boys helping with the sound. And thank you, Danny, for opening everything up every Sunday for us. It's makes our worship possible. So there's a lot going on to bring this, and I'm very blessed to have a great worship team supporting us. As we get ready to close here, I hope that you're inspired by the life of Lois and Eunice, and that you can make an impact. And even if you don't see that impact today, many of the people that impacted my lives had never saw me become a pastor, but they did their life and they lived their life faithfully, and because of that, it shaped who I am today. I leave you with these words from 2 Peter. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us now depart and set examples of faith. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.